Tuesday, July 2nd, common council meeting in order. Madam Clerk, please call the roll. I'm here.
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 Here. Quorum. Please rise and join the pledge.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
My apologies.
It's okay. We're fine.
Item B is citizens' comment period. Any citizen wishing to speak, please rise and forward, give us your name and address, and tell us what you want to tell us. Mr. Lewandowski.
Does this thing work? Leroy Lewandowski, 8030 West Winston Way. I'd like somebody to follow through on the fact that the concrete in front of the permit doors is irregular, and the seniors with their guides and walking canes, and they stumble on it, those assist rolling the wheels, they get stuck on it. Somebody should get out there and either raise the concrete or machine it down. These people have got these handicap devices, and it's not working great with that irregular concrete.
I wish Mark this day down.
What?
Mark this day down. I agree with you. We'll take care of it.
That's the first time you did that.
For you. Okay, anyone else? Anyone else wishing to speak? Seeing no one rise, we'll close the citizen comment period. Move on to item C, approval of the regular meeting minutes of the Common Council meeting of June 18th. Any additions or corrections?
Second.
Discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries. No public hearings, no organizational business, no letters of petition. We move on to G1, reports a donation from the Frank Tooth.
Second.
Just for the record, this is Robert Jester, who gave us $100. Thank you very much. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Motion carries. Item G2 is an ordinance to recommend to amend the section 52.
Second.
Discussion? Alderman Willem.
I just have a question about the plant species that are on the list. Could you just make a note to have a double check for any DNR aggressives? And that's the only comment I have.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
I just had one other comment because I forgot to thank the mayor at the last planning meeting. So I thank the planning committee. Now I'm thanking the Common Council, the City of Franklin, for their patience and their support in this project. It's been going on since the year 2000. And we're finally there now, and we appreciate the support of both the Common Council and the mayor.
Could you ask me to introduce their...
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm Mike Murray. I'm chairman.
I'm never going
to
introduce. Sure, let's do that.
Do it. Okay. Susan Robbie.
Susan, use the microphone.
Susan Robbie from the Conservancy.
Mike Skirowski, member of the Board of Directors of the Conservancy.
Greece, member of the Board of Conservancy.
Housing Community Greece. Roisin Stichinski with New Eden Landscape Architecture, and I was the landscape architect.
Dana Schumacher at New Eden, also a landscape architect.
It's okay, Dana. You
on the project.
Joe Greasy with the Board of Directors of the Conservancy.
So on behalf of the County Council,
thank you very
You're
much.
You're welcome.
Thank you.
Okay, G3. Mr. Zimmerman is here. Boss. Susan.
Need that? Do I need this? Probably. Why? Do you want it? This color one? I'll have another one made. I have it in the chapel right now, so I'll have another one made. Should I get the two? Okay. Wow, thank you.
Good evening, Mr. Zimmerman.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mayor. Thank you, Common Council. Can you guys hear me okay?
By the way, you should know that the last meeting I said that this may become infrequent and announcing prior to the meeting, so you tell me you're staying.
That means what, that I don't have to come every meeting?
Unless
every other?
Yes.
Okay. So I just, pretty just high-level overview of Ballpark Commons. We've got an update. Greg Marceau is out of town. He is not here, but he sent me some notes. So I'll give you an update at the end on infrastructure. But generally, the updates on Ballpark Commons, I'll start with the developer's agreement. So our hope was to actually have it in the packet on Friday. Unfortunately, we're just unable to negotiate some of the final points. So I think I can only really truly speak for TID 5, and I'd say we're at the goal line. There's just a couple issues that we're still, I wouldn't call it negotiating, we're drafting around language. TID 7 has a couple other issues, but again, I'd say I talked to Mandel, they feel very confident, so I think you guys will have that hopefully this week, is the plan. So then, before I talk about infrastructure, I'll just give everybody an update. So obviously, we had our opener of the stadium, which is great. We had over 3,000 people, 3,500 people for opener. It was great, really well received. Unfortunately, we were unable to satisfy all of the health inspections. We were not operating at full capacity at food and beverage. But we continue to, work with the health department on making sure that the F&B operation is up to par. But it went off great, really good reviews. A lot of things we got to change. We got a huge punch list. One of the things that I've talked to the mayor about is the sound issue. So the sound, although it doesn't appear that we're triggering any ordinance issues, it's still obviously registering some complaints. So we've got the company coming back, not this week, next week. I've invited the mayor to come out and kind of help step through the process. What we were unable to do with the sound last week is they're built in different zones. So everything was just sort of broadcasting at one zone. But now they'll dial in all these different zones, and we'll do our best to try to dial that in. So next week, I think, will really be the next home series. I think will really be the test of how this, how the sound works out. But we're certainly thoughtful and conscious of, what we're doing. I think every game it got a little better. So the stadium, we're back in town on the 9th. We're hoping to have all the concessions up. We're working with the health department. We had a great meeting with them last week. I think there was some misconception in terms of what we thought needed to be done. The mayor was there. Alderman Taylor was there. So I think we made really good headway on coming to at least agreement on what is possible. So we're not terribly concerned about that, but there's still more wood to chop on the health inspections. So in terms of other developments, so the golf is sitting with the city right now. We've got state approval on the golf. I believe we submitted... It wasn't a complete package in May, early June. The complete package is there, so we're hoping to get the building permit on the golf relatively soon. Performance Village is, we're hoping to, that also has state approvals. We're hoping to submit this week on the Performance Village, which is great news. Today, one of the reasons I was a little late, I was just meeting with another hotel developer, so that looks like it's going to, I know you're anxious for that, Mayor. So we've got two really, I'll call them interesting proposals on the hotel. I like them both, so we just need to kind of figure out what's the right flag for the city and how does that. So that's moving forward. And everything else is the C1 building, which as a reminder is the office retail. Wheel and Sprocket had to push their opener to July 12th. There was a sprinkler issue. So that looks like it's going well. Senior Living is off to, they're ahead of construction schedule, and then apartments will start as soon as we get through the developer agreement. So then on just on infrastructure, and pardon my slight delay here, I'm just going to try to highlight some of the updates that Greg has. So just bear with me here. So this is the update on infrastructure from Marceau Construction. So he says water, sanitary, storm are all substantially complete now. Stormwater ponds are in two. Some cleanup work around South Pond. Paperwork still needs to be completed for the North Pond. Ballpark Drive north of Rossa and west of the Rock main entrance is now open, and shared parking lots are now open. Some minor work will be completed soon, like landscaping and a few sidewalk sections. Ballpark Drive to the east of the Rock and south of Roston will be completed in about 2 months, pending weather, which he always says pending weather. Off-site improvements will all be complete in August, except for the stoplights themselves. Stoplights are backordered until late 2019. The sound monitoring we talked about, that's complete now. The light modes were complete last fall. The north berm is complete now. South berm by end of summer. So that's the update on infrastructure. So now I'll just turn it to you guys so you can fire away and ask me any questions.
Mr. Zimmerman, thank you for showing. So just 2 points. Number one, I am very happy you come here, and you know, you also bring members of your staff to come here and make explanations and give things. And as we can see, I believe it's effective. And I would just caution to not abort this too quick. I mean, I appreciate your updates. I think they've answered a lot of questions. I think they've quelled a lot of misconceptions. And I applaud you for that. So I would just like to see, you know, maybe if it's not every meeting, maybe it's one a month. Not necessarily you, but someone like Greg, when he came in here and gave that presentation, was fantastic. Answered a lot of questions. Excellent. And the number two point was, you know, I attended opening night. Fantastic. I got one phone call, like 9:40-something, from somebody complaining about noise. And I told him, jokingly, it's who emceed. I mean, your MC, the real deal, McNeil, is, I've known him for 20 years, and yeah, his voice carries. He does a great job. He represented you excellent, and that's it. So I applaud you for your efforts, and your staff was very, very considerate. I mean, I can't say enough good things about what you got going on there.
Appreciate that. Just one sidebar on that. So we had two fireworks scheduled, one for the opener and then one for Thursday night, unfortunately, because it ordinance has been canceled. So I don't know the right answer there. I think next year is probably going to, I think we're inclined to start games earlier, so to get those in. But.
Yeah, I think the fireworks, obviously, there was, I think, small amounts of people disappointed, but I thought that not having them was good PR, you know. And I think, you know, regarding the sound, there were a number of complaints I know that went to the police department, but complaints and violations are two separate things. If there's violations, you're going to see Fred in the audience. That has not been the case. And so, you know, one thing I think, I mean, those sound system, I talked to Scott Johnson, and he said, I think at licensing last time we saw him, or maybe it was even at the stadium, that the machine tells you what drove, it was a car. This was a car. That's what made that noise. It's that precise, I guess, is the sound system, the sound monitoring system. And I think we have to seriously, you know, the stadium is there, all right? It's not going away. What's being built isn't going away. And I think that if you have the same individuals, we should be tracking to see who is complaining, because it's the same individuals over and over and over again just because they don't like it. Those are nuisance calls that should not be tying up, you know, our dispatch just because they don't like it. Until there's violations, you know, just complaining because you don't like it. I mean, maybe because you have been attending these meetings and putting out some of this false narrative and rumors and outright lies, maybe that's why people have stopped showing up. Maybe they realize, I guess this is actually going to happen, that we can't stop it. So I do encourage, whether it's, you know, once a month or having someone come here, especially while we still have, you know, the developer's agreement to, you know, you'll be here for that, obviously. But I think, you know, this first initial season, it would be important to maybe have like once a month and only have a few months of this season.
Yeah, so I defer to you guys. If you guys want us here every Tuesday, that's fine. Whether I'm here or somebody from the TV show, we're happy to do that, or if you want to slide.
I mean, Scott has to come to licensing. Scott, too. I mean, he knows some of this stuff, or Greg, or, you know, it doesn't always have to be you, but like I said, I do think we have to. I'm concerned that you have the same individuals calling, and that's just not right.
Having said that, though, I think there are some opportunities still.
Right.
The way speakers are pointed. So let's just see once we dial that in how people react.
That system needs to have
a little bit of engineering background.
And my understanding, sorry to interrupt, is that that gets smarter over time. So it can, like, I don't think right now it can tell you whether or not it's a car or a firework, but I think over time, my understanding is it learns from those things. So, right. And if you haven't seen these monitoring devices, I would encourage you guys to go check them out. There. Well, I am, because if there's a shortfall, I have to cut a check. So you and I are totally aligned.
That was awesome.
But the whole idea is that for the community as well as us, that tracking data available and support.
I mean, I think Paul can talk to this, but I got a great email from Callie, I think it was 3 weeks ago, that said the anticipated shortfall that I thought we'd have, correct me if I'm wrong, but the shortfall that I thought I would have is not a shortfall.
The increment exceeds the thresholds that were set in your original development agreement.
Mm-hmm. So that, I was happy to see that.
Happy 4th to you all.
Sure.
I know you want to get out of here pretty quickly, but I thought I'd give you a little bit of an update on court, and then we'll do some numbers with you. A couple of things that we're doing differently that we had not previously done. Starting in January, once a month, we have juvenile night only. We don't hear any other cases other than juveniles. We do require the juveniles to come with their parents. We probably get about 20 to 25 juveniles per night, and that's once a month. Alderman Barber can attest to this because he and I are both on a group called Coalition, which, as all we know, is an anti-drug, anti-alcohol group, and vaping is an epidemic in our schools. Absolutely epidemic. Oh, I'm sorry.
Talk right into it.
Okay. Usually I can do that, but I'm sorry about that. Vaping has become an epidemic in our community. It certainly stretches to the middle school. It isn't just high schoolers. One of the things that makes it very difficult is that the vaping devices are so sophisticated now that they can appear to be a flash drive. They're that small, that minute, that they're very, very difficult to detect. And there's certainly no question that the use of vaping has skyrocketed in our schools. I try to get the message across to the juveniles when they come to court that essentially what you're doing is putting into your body chemicals that no one knows what the long-term effects of those will be. I mean, obviously they're putting nicotine into their system. That's the primary ingredient in vaping, but they're also putting a lot of other chemicals and no one knows. There hasn't been time to do long-term studies to show what the effect of all those chemicals might be, but I will tell you that it's a very, very difficult problem, and some of the teachers even have come to court to say that sometimes the kids are just very open and blatant about it. They'll be walking between classes and using their vaping devices, so that's a big issue. The good news that I wanted to tell you is that starting in fall of last year, we went to a new way of trying to get court fees and fines collected, which is the State Debt Collection Service, and we stopped using commitments to the House of Correction, and coincidentally, we got a memo around January 1st from the House of Correction that they raised their daily rates to $41 per day per inmate. In the year 2016, We spent $41,200 on commitments because, remember, if someone gets picked up for not paying a traffic fine and they're sent to the House of Correction, the city, the municipality from which that traffic infraction occurred has to pay the costs of the person being sheltered at the House of Correction, or for that matter, the Office Secure Detention Facility as well. And as I said, in 2016, the city paid a total of $41,200. In 2017, the city paid a total of $55,817. And then we discontinued the commitments in June of 2018. At that point, we spent $20,600 on commitments. There is a little bit of a slow period with state debt collection because they, once we send them the material, they have 60 days to verify that the numbers we gave them are correct. They then send notices out to all the people that they verified as truly owing the money, and they give them 60 days to pay. So we didn't start actually getting collections from state debt collection services until around February or so of this year because of that time lag that was built in. But through May, we've gotten over $60,000 in state debt collection proceeds. I'm told that another check came in today, July 2nd, for approximately $7,000. So we've got that. And I think the bigger thing, and it's mentioned here in the memo from Administrator Roberta, is we no longer have those costs to the House of Corrections. So not only do we have this revenue coming in, but I think just as important, and maybe even more important, is we're not having that outgo of payments to the House of Correction and the jail and the Milwaukee County Secure Detention Facility. So we're saving a lot of money there. I do see in the memo from Mr. Rotzenberg that unfortunately collections are down, although that is offset by the reduced costs that we have for commitments. I will tell you that obviously, in court, we can only process the cases that we get. I don't know if the number of tickets that have been written have gone down or not, but that might be a factor. I don't know for sure. I'm not sure if the numbers are down or not. The number of tickets written probably has a greater impact on the revenues that we're able to get rather than anything that the court or city attorney does. There's one thing I wanted to get your input on, though, if you don't mind, and I'm happy to take questions, too. But,
Your Honor, before you do that, a question on commitments.
Yes.
Have you totally done away with commitments, or do you still reserve that for the people that really deserve it?
When you first sign up with state debt collection, you waive your rights to issue commitments. However, if state debt collection sends you a letter eventually saying that we've tried every resource we can and we're not able to collect, we authorize you to reissue commitments for the following people. So right now we can't issue any commitments because of our agreement with state debt collection, but by the end of the year, 2019, we expect to get a letter from state debt collection saying that there are certain people that even they weren't able to collect from, and then we would proceed.
I misunderstood. You're still able to commit to the house as a penalty.
Right.
Collection of the bad debt doesn't get you.
That's true. That's right. Yes.
Just a quick question, Fred. I don't know if it would be for you or Paul. The program, it's a question about the program, state.
It's more than just tax intercept. We've had tax intercept
that was my
for
question.
A long time.
Okay.
This, I will tell you, in all honesty, I am amazed myself. They are able to garnish bank accounts. They're able to take money from licenses that have been applied for. I mean, the state debt collection is unbelievable how they're able
so
to.
So it's a step beyond true.
A step beyond tax intercept.
Okay, thank you.
Tax intercept was good, but.
Yeah.
If there's no money.
If there's no money, and then a lot of them
are these people. Right.
The one issue that I wanted, or a couple issues, and whatever you want, but I had my clerks print out a list of fines for various things, and you've got them all here. Not every Milwaukee County suburb was listed, but most of them are. But the one that I wanted to get some input from you on, if you don't mind, and I know you probably are not in the mood for a long debate here on a hot July evening, but the one I'd like some input from you, if I could, because I think this is really a policy issue, and you as the elected representatives of the people of Franklin, you really represent policies, would be on possession of THC, which if you look at the chart here is about, I would say about three-fifths of the way down, possession of THC. And I mention this in part because Governor Evers has announced his desire to decriminalize possession of marijuana for 25 grams or less. That is not part of the budget that was sent to him. And we don't know, just because he says he wants it doesn't necessarily mean that that's going to happen. But if that should happen, we might have an increase in the number of possession of THC cases. And so it's important that we have, I think, some discussion about what we think is an appropriate forfeiture for possession of THC. Now, remember, this would be only for 25 grams or less. This is not for somebody that's, you know, dealing marijuana and they've got, you know, 3 pounds of marijuana in the back of their van or something. It's not like that. The reason why I mentioned that I'd like your input is that you'll see that the forfeitures for possession of THC of 25 grams or less run the gamut from $124 in the city of Milwaukee to somewhere between $376 to $1,006 in Shorewood. So you might see a lot of people from Shorewood trying to go into the city of Milwaukee very fast if they're being chased by a Shorewood police officer. It'll save them about $900 depending on where they're going over. So. But anyways, we appear, in my opinion, to be about the middle of the pack. Our standard forfeiture is $533.50. I'm not going to pretend that we charge that in every single case. We don't. It depends to some extent on the amount that we get. Is it a roach that's already been smoked and it's just residue in an ashtray? That makes a difference as compared to unsmoked marijuana. We appear to be about the middle of the pack, but as I said, there are some municipalities that charge quite a bit more than Franklin, and there are some that charge less than Franklin. So, I don't know if anybody wants to make a comment, but if I don't hear from public representatives, I probably will keep it at about where it is now. But people on the council think that we should look at increasing that, or perhaps they think we should look at decreasing that. I guess this would be the time that I hear from somebody.
Officer Nelson. Your Honor.
Yes.
But just so everyone's clear, too, if it's a second or subsequent, it's going to be a crime.
Right.
So I don't know if anybody really realizes that.
Possession of marijuana is a crime. And as far as I know, and I'm pretty sure I'm right about this, Governor Evers has not suggested changing that.
Touch that. It's
right.
A 25-gram rule.
Right.
So now, if we're looking at it from a city standpoint, obviously it's my opinion, but keeping this fine where it's at, just putting a little asterisk in there with the 25 grams or more. But, I mean, just so everybody knows that if it's, you can't just get fine after fine after fine after your second one, it's a crime. So, I mean, it automatically puts you into the criminal realm. So you can't just keep smoking every week and then pay a ticket and you're good. So that's the first part. A second part, maybe I should go over this later, is we disagree a county park violation is 124.
That would be where people are caught after hours in the county park.
Is that the only charge? Because under Chapter 47, all Milwaukee County violations are in Chapter 47, and it's got a whole myriad of things just like this, and I believe they raised that quite a bit.
I'm glad you brought that up, because I was not aware of that. We did not take that into consideration. Obviously, if there's people in the park that are causing criminal damage to property or something like that, that's different. What we're talking about in this list here is only people who are caught in the park after hours.
Right.
That's what this is. And I will tell you that the park that we seem to have a lot of trouble with actually isn't a county park, but we have a lot of trouble with Kalis Park. I don't know why. Maybe it's because it's in a bit of a secluded area, you know, comparatively speaking, it's somewhat secluded, but we've had a lot of problems not only with park hour violations, but with damage to property. About a year ago, we had an officer who went out to investigate a kids in the park complaint, and somebody shot a bottle rocket at him. Luckily, it missed him, so he was not injured in any way. But I can tell you this, it scared why that is, but that part we have a number of problems with.
Nice.
Well, yeah, and I, it's a nice park. I mean, it's the kind of park they would attract.
You also know that credit that to the fact that we've got cameras there, and dispatches. These fines and fees, these fines are maximums, correct?
These are standard. We can go above or below them depending on the facts of the case. But generally speaking, and if the person doesn't come to court, this is what's called the default. So if a person gets a ticket for possession of THC, the ticket on the face of the ticket says $533.50. If they don't bother to come to court, that's what they're going to be fined, $533.50. If they come to court and they say, look, he found, three ashes in my ashtray, and this was from my cousin who used the car a week before or something, it's possible that they may actually get the full $533. If you're asking me for my opinion, I would like to see it slightly higher. I don't think tremendously higher, but I think slightly higher. I'm old school, you can tell by the white hair, I'm old school. I don't favor the legalization of marijuana. I don't favor the decriminalization of marijuana. In my opinion, that's starting us off on the wrong path, and so, frankly, I don't support the governor's position on that. That's not the way I see it. I guess I see the issue of medical marijuana a little bit differently, but I don't favor the governor's approach for decriminalization.
What in your mind would be a amount that would be a deterrent?
Well,
that's where I'm coming from. Is it $1,000 as a deterrent? Would that be enough to send a message? And
Mike, one of the biggest problems we have in Franklin isn't just possession THC, it's with so many other things too. Is the kid gets picked up, mom or dad writes a check out to pay it, and the only lesson the kid gets out of the whole situation is, well, if I get in trouble, mom or dad will write a check, what we do.
In volition, we get the officer reports, and it really is surprising the amount that's coming out of this. So I'm wondering if my next question was what typically happens when a middle school person comes in.
And a little bit of a byproduct of that, Mike, is that if someone is willing to do community service, we would give them community service. And with the older kids, I'm talking about 16, 17 year old kids, we can give them community service. However, very few